Welcome to the Wager Makers Podcast with Webb and Schmidt.
Brick by brick, baby. I'm freaking out, Webb.
I'm told there'd be no man. Stupidity's going to be an asset.
What a bunch of crybabies.
Hello, my name is Steve Smith, and this is Rob Weber. Say hey, Webb.
What's up, Smith? Hello, hello.
I'm Smith, that's Webb, and we are the Wager Makers, and this is the Wager Makers Podcast. And I think I'm losing track, Webb. This is podcast number 7, number 6, number 7, number 8, something like
I
that.
I think we're number 8, man.
Number 8. We're moving right along, and we're getting out there. We're on Podbean. We're on Apple. We're on Google Play Music. We're on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. The list goes on. We're even got some stuff we're working on to play around with to get on YouTube and get some video of this thing going. Weber's a good looking guy, but I got a face for radio. So we'll see how that works out. So we're going to get right to it. This is our college football kickoff edition episode. Full slate of college football games coming up next week. We can't wait. We were so excited last week. We were all over that Florida and Miami game. Webb, you want to start this? Talk about that game a little bit.
That way we both had that one starred. Not the result we wanted, obviously. It's funny, after we made our predictions, our plan that game, we saw an article how Las Vegas and the bookies make 20% of their year is made up in this first weekend of college football. So maybe we should have pumped the brakes there a little bit. But we did like Florida a lot. The game started out. We were right there, a couple of turnovers, and that just kind of changed everything. And we still had a shot at the end, so. But just one of many. We try to place the same amount of on each game. So it's just one of many. We got a bunch coming up. We'll get it all back here by Friday for sure.
Man, Webb, you're pretty optimistic. I thought differently. I got to tell you, I've been depressed since this shit happened the other day. We were going in, and we kind of called it how the game would be. We took the veteran quarterback over the redshirt freshman. So the first drive comes out, and Miami moves the ball down the field. They dink and dunk, kind of what you'd expect out of a redshirt freshman play calling kind of thing. And they move right down the field. They get a field goal. We're like, all right, well, let's get it together. Had a couple missed tackles, a lot of missed tackles in the secondary.
Oh, yeah, horrible.
And, the game just went downhill. We Florida moved down. They got a touchdown. They hit that hitch pass. The guy takes off all the way. Franks is running around like a jerk. I don't know. I thought we took the veteran kind of guy. He's hot, slapping, high fiving people in the stands. I don't know what he was doing. Then Florida goes down. They're getting ready to go up 14-3. Man, Rob, I got my college football kickoff extravaganza shit talking show ready to go. I was like, I'm gonna be like, the Wager Makers, we're not afraid to tell you I told you so. Well, I told you so. We were talking shit about how this was the easiest kickoff game of the year. Florida minus 7. Take them all day. Oh, man.
Like
so they go down
seven,
to go under.
Like
about to go up 14-3. They drop the ball. Franks is talking crap the whole game. I thought we had the veteran leadership. He played like crap. It looked like two teams. Obviously, two teams in college early in the season playing crappy, just kind of crappy football offensively for sure. But Florida, man, they won by 4 points. They were laying 7. I just thought they were going to win this game. Playing against a freshman quarterback, they had two freshman offensive tackles starting.
Yep. Yep.
And we just couldn't get it done, man. So I was depressed all day Saturday, Webb. I'll tell you, we talked for years about this. We're talking to bars, talk about football, talk about gambling, and
we dropped the ball, man. First one out.
We're gonna do a show. Someday we'll do a show. So we set up a show. We learn how to podcast. We don't know nothing about this. We go on Google. We go on YouTube. We start podcasting. Right. We make a couple shows. It's preseason. We kind of go up and down preseason. Oh well, then we learn how to YouTube and Google and get this stuff going. We're on iTunes. We're on Spotify. We're talking about how much we know about sports and football. We've been doing this for a long time. I got hats made. I got T-shirts. We're on Facebook. We got Instagram. We got Twitter. Finally, we got a real game. We got a real game we can talk about. And man, we didn't hold back. I think I told him it was easy money. I said last week it was easy money. This is going to be so easy. We're not going to have to worry about a thing. This is the easy. The NCAA is doing you a favor. We're going to take it to the house. I'm making fun of it. I'm acting like it's the easiest thing. All and we're going in. We're going to go in 14-3, and all hell breaks loose. So I've been depressed the last couple of days. You know, we're down 0-1. This isn't even week one yet. They were calling this week zero.
Week zero. We're
not even week one, and we're already down one play. I had my college football kickoff episode talk shit ready about how smart we were and everything, and now look at us sitting here 0-1 already on Florida. So we got to come up. We got to come up big this week, Webb. We got to come up.
We
big.
Need something. We need a big week, no doubt, no doubt. I got my eye on a couple things. We'll be all right. I got a game a day.
I did feel a little bit better. Did you catch any of the Little League World Series?
I did. Yep, I did.
Okay, so that's the team right outside of New Orleans, they would call themselves the East Bank. That's the playground they play in. They're from River Ridge, which is about 10 miles outside of New Orleans here, and they went all the way. They won on Saturday for the U.S. Championship. Yeah. They won Sunday. For the world championship, and now they're coming home. Webb, they're like rock stars. These kids, so the whole community's been going crazy.
There you go.
They got parades set up. They showed videos. It's on Facebook today of the kids going to school for the first time, and people are cheering them and stuff. Man, these guys, and they're 12 years old, big man on campus. Man, it's good.
There you go. Good for them, man.
It was fun to watch. And then the big news broke while we were watching that Florida game. From the NFL this time. And with the Andrew Luck news, what do you think about that, Rob?
I mean, obviously, it's shocking. I mean, we did talk about his injury on a couple of past episodes, and how that high ankle sprain is something that tough thing. It does linger for a number of weeks. I didn't think he'd be ready for the regular season, but I didn't see this coming. Any type of retirement thing, obviously, I don't think anybody really did. You know, shocking. I mean, you're as a Colts fan, you got to be bummed. Just, you know, you were literally thinking Super Bowl victory, and now you're hoping for 8-8. But I mean, it's to see all the backlash going on this poor guy. He's getting booed by the Colts fans at the end of the game. I mean, the man has a right to do what he wants to do. Obviously, he's got a ton of money, and he did put in some time. The injury rehab that he was talking about. Obviously, it's tough, and no one knows what it's like for the individual. But I think it's definitely his right. You know, shocking, but I'm okay with it. It's kind of settled down now a little bit for me.
Right. It was. You know, you got to kind of feel for these guys a little bit. Your first thought is, man, like, man, what's going on? And you kind of put yourself in if you were a Colts fan for a second, and kind of shocked and pissed off and stuff like that. But then you see the interview that he did, the press conference. You can see the look on his face. You know, it's a tough. We take for granted sometimes these guys. They make a lot of money, but the toll they take on their bodies and for what they do the rest of their life is a difficult situation. So Lux obviously went to Stanford. He's a smart guy. He knows there's life after football. He's got some money in the bank. He's 29 years old. He's probably said, man, you know, I don't want to put myself through this anymore. And if you're not on that NFL field at 100%, and I'm not talking about 100% physically, but 100% mentally, you know, you're just asking for trouble. You know, you can't walk out there with JJ Watt coming off the edge twice a year and not be 100% in. You got to be 100% in. And if he's not 100% in, I mean, the timing is kind of crappy, but I guess when you get to the point where, when you know, I guess Andrew Luck knows at this point, he's ready to walk away.
Yeah, if that injury didn't linger like it was, I think they said Arce came out and said it was a bone thing, and then the other guys were saying it was a calf, and I think they were kind of doing a little bit of a, you know, spin doctoring on it. I think obviously he knew the severity of it. He knew he can't even walk without pain right now. He's having a baby, I think they said next month or something. He's had concussions. He's had, I think they said, a lacerated spleen. So it's not like he's got, you know, ankles and hammies. He's got a bunch of different stuff going on. Like you said, he's a smart dude. And I think the last thing he wants to be dealing with is some type of CTE.
Right.
Worrying about that, you know, a couple of concussions. And I think it's just like you said, he can't go out there. If you're not 100%, if you're 99.9%, you're zero. If these are 100 or nothing. So you can't, like you said, you go out there, you're going to get yourself hurt. And even the guys you're playing with, it's a disservice to them. And I think that kind of went into his decision as well. So, I mean, I wish him the best. He could have, you know, it's sad. He could have, you know, God knows the sky was the limit for what he probably would looking at a Hall of Fame career, but you know, it is what it is.
Right. You just have to move on. I'm just glad my fantasy football draft didn't happen yet. And I'm not a Colts fan. So the fact that those two things went down, I know a lot of people that probably drafted Andrew Luck at some point and probably like, oh man, we're screwed. So moving on, we're going to get right into college football. Just one more thing. I just want to emphasize the disappointment I had with the Florida Gators. So I walk in on Sunday, right? So my buddy at work, Chris Lawrence, he's a huge Gators fan. So all week leading up, I'm like, oh man, I'm on you guys. We're on the podcast. We're going to go for it, man. He's like, oh yeah, that's easy money. Put it out there. Franks is going to be awesome. And so I'm walking all around, all kicking dirt on my shoes on Sunday morning, all pissed off and everything about how the game went Saturday night. And so I'm just assuming other Gator fans are going to feel the same way. So yeah, you forget that they're not gamblers. They're all happy. So I walk in like I thought this is going to be the one guy that's going to understand my pain. So I'm like, Chris, man, how'd you like that game? You know, kind of pissed off. Like, what about that game? Like, he's like, oh man, awesome. I'm in a good mood today. It's everything's great. They won the game. I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah, nothing. They didn't play well, man.
Nothing worse than losing the game and the team wins outright and everybody's acting like Franks did something good. He threw two pass plays the whole game. One of them was a hitch pass. The other, the only one other legitimate pass that I remember him completing was it did set up a touchdown. But the one other one was a hitch pass that went all the way. And the rest, and then he's got two interceptions and a fumble. And he's walking around talking smack like he did something. Man, that guy pissed me off. So we'll see. I think both of these teams will have decent years. I think it was a sloppy game. It was the first game of the college season. We'll probably see a lot of that this weekend. Sloppy
ugly,
play.
Ugly.
A little bit, you know, inconsistent offense, things like that. But we'll see. So let's get right into it. So they got a bunch of games Thursday night, Webb. There's one game this weekend that's two top 25 teams. We'll get to that whenever you're ready. That's Auburn and Oregon, the old matchup.
The Pac Saturday and, night, right?
SEC, that's Saturday. Clemson opens up Thursday night. They're going to defend their number one ranking against Georgia Tech in an ACC battle. That's a game with a new coach for Georgia Tech. They got a new coach. He's so used to Georgia Tech. I used to like betting on because they always played solid D and they had a good running game. A lot of times they ran a lot of option. So they brought in Jeff Collins and he's going to be moving it to more of a spread offense. So that's going to be a transition. Clemson's favorite in this one right now, it looks like by about 36.5, 37 points. You got any thoughts on that?
That's a tough one. I mean, that's a big number. First game of the season, like you said, that game, that Florida-Miami game was brutal, tough to watch. Miami could hardly get a playoff. I don't know how many delayed games they've had, and the tackling was atrocious as well. And I think the coaching was lacking. I think it was just a pretty shitty game to watch, and the outcome obviously sucked too. But this Clemson game, I don't have a feel either way. I guess gun to my head, I would just take Clemson. They're so good. I think Lawrence is going to toss three touchdowns, probably at least. I don't know too much about Collins and what Georgia Tech's going to look like at this point. That used to be one of our teams back in the day. They ran that kind of weird, funky wishbone type offense, and they tough to defend. So they always kind of at least kept them in the games. So that one's a difficult one. I do have one I do like. I got one starred on Thursday night. I like the Utah minus four.
The Holy War. That's BYU against Utah. A lot of people like Utah this year. Something good. Yeah. What do you like about? What do you see on there?
I just think I'm not. Utah's going to have a decent year. I think they're in that. They're going to win that side of the Pac-10. Not that the Pac-10 is anything to get excited about, but they got some veteran guys and they're coming off a good year last year. I think they're poised for a decent season. And BYU, I think, is down a little bit. So it is a kind of one of those rivalry type games, obviously played in Utah, but the state of Utah. But I like the Utes there. And it's funny. I bought it early. I got it earlier this week at 4.5, and it's already up to 6. So it's always good to be on the right side of the line. So that's my one for Thursday for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Utah's got quarterback Tyler Huntley. He's back from – he was kind of banged up last year. He's back and healthy. Their main running back is back and healthy. I got one thing to say. Utah came back from a tough deficit against BYU last year and beat them, and they've won 8 straight against BYU. And I was looking through the Phil Steele. He's, like, known as one of the top college gurus for knowing offseason moves and all that kind of stuff. And he says that Utah's defensive line is the number one defensive line in the whole country. And that includes the Alabamas and the, you know, whatever, Clemson's and and everything else of the world. He really picks them. He thinks they have a chance to make it to the playoff this year and really run the table in the pack and go all the way. So I think I'm with you on that one. I think Utah, I think the last I saw was 5.5. Maybe you said you saw it at 6. But I got 6 like here Utah now, on Thursday night against BYU. That's a big one.
That's interesting. I saw someone else as that put Utah in. One of the guys on ESPN put Utah in as their sleeper to make the playoff as well. I don't know how you know, likely that is, especially coming from out of the Pac-10. But that's a good one. We agree, which may be scary. I don't know. We'll have to see.
Right. And, you know, it seems like out of the Pac-12, you know, you asked a question last week. We can get into that right now about can a team win the national championship with two losses, and I said yes. Well, but we're going to elaborate about a little bit about this year. Go ahead.
Well, question is, could even a two-loss team make it into the playoff, even into the Final Four there? I don't know that it, it would have to be, in my mind, it would have to be somebody from the SEC. Maybe, you know, if they kind of beat each other up, cannibalize each other over there, maybe Georgia beats Bama and then Bama beats Georgia, and then, you know, maybe Georgia loses, you know, in Auburn or something like that. But that may be the only way. But I don't see it. Pac-10, I am up on Oregon this year. I did want to talk about that as well. They're over, actually, for the wins for the year. And Washington is decent, too, in the Pac-10. But I don't see any – where else could a two-loss team sneak in there? Are you thinking Michigan or somebody like that?
No, I think the only place, like you said, would be from the SEC. It almost happened last year. Georgia almost got in there at the end. They had two losses going into the playoffs. And then once you have the playoffs, anything can happen at that point. Oh, yeah, so really, really the question is, can a two-loss team make it into the playoffs? And, you know, it was close last year. You got to think of a world where there's more parity. You know, this year is so weird with – you know, pretty much everybody agrees that Clemson and Georgia are head and shoulders above everybody else. But let's say there's another year where almost everybody's got one loss and there's going to be a couple teams with two. That could easily – I think it could easily happen. I don't think it's a team coming out of the Pac-12. That's not what I was bringing up. I just thought it would be a good time to talk about your question from last week. I think for Utah to make it to the final, they would have to run the table. You know, I think a team in the Pac-12, you have to be undefeated. That goes probably for Oregon too. I don't think you lose a game in the pack and make it to the finals.
I mean, that you could say that for almost anybody outside of the SEC. I mean, if Clemson, there's no one making Clemson. Clemson's not losing in conference. I don't see them losing.
Certainly not twice. Get there.
Right, right. And then up in the Big Ten, you're going to have can Michigan, can Harbaugh finally get it done against Ohio State, which I have I doubt it. So I don't know. And then can Ohio State, can they, you know, they got to play Wisconsin and some other teams. So I don't know. I don't see it happening this year. Two loss team even getting in there. We could probably pencil in three of the teams right now, Alabama, Georgia and Clemson. And that fourth one, it's going to be absolutely, it's going to have to be, you know, depending on what happens, one loss or someone like Oregon or Utah would have to definitely run the table.
Right. Right. Somebody in the Big Ten, whoever comes, whether it's Ohio State or Michigan or something, comes out of the Big Ten.
Yep.
You know, so. All right. Yeah. You see any other, you know, at first glance, any other games on the weekend? There's a whole slate of games, so we'll get to a whole bunch. But anything else that stood out to you? You like the Thursday night? You like the Utah over BYU? Yep. Anything else as the weekend moves on?
Yeah, the next Friday, the 30th. I like the Scarlet Knights. I like the Scarlet Knights minus 15.5 against UMass at home. It's Piscataway will be rocking. I think they do have some players, obviously, here in Jersey, hearing all about what's going on up there. But they do have some players. I think this is one of the games they kind of have earmarked to kind of, you know, let it all hang out. They're going to air it out. They're going to pedal to the metal the entire time. I think they can cover that 15.5 over UMass, which is just going to be overmatched just athletically. So it's one I saw for Friday. And then also I've been reading up, I think I like the Akron Zips plus 17 against Illinois. Illinois is going to have one of the worst defenses in Division One, like hundredth out of whatever it is, 110 teams. So I think I like Akron plus the 17. That would be on Saturday. The big one is the Oregon and Auburn. I'm thinking that line went from 3 to 3.5. Auburn is favored. that's kind of turning me off to the game. I think Justin Herbert can play. I think he's going to be good enough to get them to, you know, like a 11-1 season or something like that. So I was leaning Oregon there plus the 3.5. And then Sunday and Monday, I don't know. We got Houston, Oklahoma. That's another big number, 23.5. Houston's got a new coach, Dana Holgen, the guy from West Virginia. So, and Jalen Hurts is starting out for Oklahoma. That's another tough one there. I don't know. What are you thinking in that one?
You know, I kind of like, you know, I spoke earlier about liking Jalen Hurts. I liked how he left Alabama. Not that he left, but that he kind of did it the right way. He stuck it out. He helped his team out. He helped his team down the stretch and didn't just jump ship when things didn't go, you know, when things went against him. Houston has their quarterback back from last year that got hurt. He's a really dynamic kid. The question is, Oklahoma's got a new defensive coordinator. They're talking about how Oklahoma defense is going to be better. Mm-hmm. How better? Who knows? They have to be better. The Oklahoma's
Could
offense
be worse. Yeah.
Oklahoma's offense is second to none in the country, but their defense is just so bad. When they get a chance to play against the big boys, you know, you if you start putting them in a conversation with Clemson and Alabama, that's where it changes. You know, if they're playing Texas Tech and Oklahoma State, that's one thing. But if you're going to say they're on a national level and you're going to be on a national scale, man, you got to play D. I don't know if they put all their athletes on offense. I don't know if it's the scheme. I don't know what the deal is, but they have a new defensive coordinator this year, and I know that they're going to want Jalen Hurts to really show off his talents here in his first game. He's going to want to show that he's back and ready to go. It's been proven that offense can make quarterbacks shine. They have the last two Heisman Trophy winners. We talked a little bit about that last night. Jalen Hurts, obviously, he's a quality athlete. He hasn't been able to show that he can be the passing guy that teams have wanted in the past. That's how he lost his job at Alabama. But maybe in this offense, maybe after a year of sitting and watching and learning, maybe he comes out and can do something. That's a big number. 23, I would lean towards Oklahoma in this. I don't know if it's a game that I want to bet the house on or anything, but Oklahoma is a game that I would like. And since it's a Sunday night and it's by itself, it's prime time and on ABC, we got to take it. The people are going to be needing us by Sunday. Yeah, the people are going to be needing us by Sunday night. We're going to have to make a play on this one, I would think. So let's go with Oklahoma. And then Monday nighter, they got Notre Dame. Seems like Notre Dame finally has a quarterback. They're playing against LSU, but they had some news came out this week that a couple of their wide receivers are down, but Louisville's been down. They've really been having a rough couple years here. Do you got any thoughts on that play?
I'm loath to bet on Notre Dame, but I do think they finally solved that quarterback riddle there a little bit. And they do get, you know, they still get cream of the crop in terms of recruits. And Louisville is, like you said, has been down. It's 20 points on the road. I think Notre Dame, they do some damage. I think Notre Dame beats them pretty good there. I take Notre Dame minus the 20.
And if you don't know us, you know me and Notre Dame. We hate to bet on Notre Dame. We hate to bet against Notre Dame because either way we do it, they seem to kick us in the butt either way. So we'll move on with the big game of the weekend. The ranked number 11 Oregon versus Auburn number 16. It's the typical battle of a Pac-12 team against the SEC team. You got a lot of guys running around playing that spread offense and everything, and then battling against the SEC, just monsters in the trenches. I think Oregon's supposed to have a really good offensive line. Obviously, Auburn has a very good defensive line. And what's your take on that? They have Auburn is starting their redshirt freshman, or I think it's a true freshman quarterback, Nix, Bo Nix. He's the son of Patrick Nix, who was a former quarterback over there.
Yep.
And but of course, he's one of the biggest Heisman candidates this year is Herbert from Oregon. So that's to be an intriguing matchup.
No, Herbert's going to be a top 4-5 pick in the NFL draft. This is not Chip Kelly's Oregon Ducks. This guy, Cristobal, is a new coach. It's much more, he's an SEC guy, SEC roots. So you're going to see more of a pro-style offense with Herbert, much less, I don't know, a lot more, you know, grinded kind of hand the ball off, run it down, let Herbert do his thing. And the defense is one thing that's real good with Oregon this year as well, a little bit different than what you've seen in the past. It's difficult to go against an SEC team, against a Pac-10 team, but I think I am high on Oregon this year. I think I'm going to go with Oregon plus the points there, just based on the head coach, how he's kind of changed the culture and the attitude of the team and how they play. They're more SEC-ish versus a fancy offense, more smash mouth than you've seen in the past.
All right, that's Webb. He's going to go with Oregon. I'm going to have to go against you here on this one. I think it's a tough one. I just like the SEC team in this matchup. Gus Malzahn, the coach of Auburn, is going to be taking over the play calling duties. He hasn't done that in a few years. I think he's going to be running Bo Nix. That offense they run there is so weird, so hard to prepare for when they have the proper athletes in place. It seems like they have like three plays. It's like an end around one way, end around the other way, and a quarterback draw, and they just call and read the play as they go. But it just seems to work because they got athletes running around the end, running up the middle and everything. So we'll see. I kind of disagree with you on that one. Not that I disagree too much. I always in college like to take the more experienced quarterback. Obviously that came and bite us on the ass the other night, but yeah. We'll see. That's we can come back to that one. If we don't find some other quality plays here, we can come back to that one. And I'd be willing to maybe negotiate that one a little bit with the since Oregon's getting the points in that we'll see.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, that kind of swayed me a little bit. I said, Georgia's got a road game here, 21 in conference against Vanderbilt. Fromm is going to throw the ball all over the place too. I think they're going to pump him up. He's one of the leading Heisman, hype for the Heisman. I was looking at that one a little bit too, Georgia minus the 21. I think, how many points it's going to come down to how many points you think Vanderbilt can score. Can they score 21? Can they score three times? I don't know about that. If they can't, they're not going to cover the 21 because Georgia's going to score five or six times. So that's another one that I kind of saw.
Right. Let's go on to just keep the SEC theme. I got a lot of people telling me I'm not talking enough about the home teams. We got this, the Saints and we got Tulane kicking off this week. We got
Tulane tomorrow. Huh?
Yep. We got Thursday night for Tulane. We got LSU is playing Georgia Southern, and they're laying a whole bunch of points. Let me look on this thing. Where's that line at right now?
I just had it. Can't seem to find it here myself. That Georgia Southern's one of those teams that's kind of they'll take all these kids that can't get academically eligible for the bigger schools. So it's not as 27.5. It's not as big as a. They do have some players on Georgia Southern. There's a couple guys that Cowboys actually drafted from Georgia Southern that played. They get a bunch of offshoots or guys that can't cut it at Georgia, go right to Georgia Southern. I know. I've talked to some people about that. So not that they're going to – not that that's have any impact on the game. I don't think it's just not – I don't know. What do you – 27?
Well, no, what I was going to say is, I've let it be known that I think LSU is going to have a really nice year, like their quarterback Burrows, the coach, Ogeron's done a great job. But what I'm saying is that in this spot right here, LSU's laying 27.5. Now, Georgia Southern, they won 10 games last year, went on to win a bowl game, and they got a lot of their players back, their quarterback's back. They run kind of a triple option offense, which should be able to control the ball and not really make a lot of mistakes offensively, which sometimes can lead to other teams blowing out. And LSU, their biggest test early season is next week against Texas, and LSU is running a new offense. I don't think they're going to show too much. And if they're up late, I think they're going to start resting players and looking forward to that Texas game. So in this spot, I kind of like Georgia Southern getting the big points, to be honest.
That's one's open for negotiation for me too. I mean, four scores. I think, LSU will be happy to get out of there with a solid W. Like I said, they have their sights set on next week and even bigger, bigger fish to fry down the season. I think we may want to talk about them trying to sneak into that fourth playoff spot because I'm sure that's what they're thinking in their heads in that locker room. So, I got LSU love, so I wouldn't mind either way, one way or the other. Maybe I'll take LSU just to go against you on that one.
All right, fair enough. And now one game I found intriguing just to talk about a little bit how far this team has fallen off the map. Florida State hosts Boise State Saturday, and they're laying 5 points. I get they're favored, but they're laying 5 points. But really, I'm almost leaning towards taking Boise in this game. But I feel like Florida's got to bounce back. Taggart's had a hell of a time over there. They just named Blackman the quarterback.
Yeah,
the other day, and he's got some experience. He played a little bit in between that Francois was injury and stuff like that in the last couple of years. But man, to think not that long ago, if you looked at this game, man, Florida State be easily favored by two touchdowns. And how far now? Right now it's laying at 5 on the ESPN app I'm looking at right now.
Yeah, I got 4.5 here. Yeah, it's hard to explain. I'm not really sure what happened. I mean, we know a bunch of our Florida State guys weren't big on Jimbo Fisher. Now he's gone, and they literally, you know, they're struggling to get to 500 to get bowl eligible. It's kind of, and they're still getting recruits. You still see, you know, top first round draft picks getting, you know, coming from Florida State. So it's kind of weird what's going on, kind of bizarre. I'm not sure what happened. And you know, Francois and Blackman were big time recruits as well. So 4.5 against Boise. Boise traditionally is real tough. You know, that's a tough game. You know, based on the history, the recent history, you got to take the points.
Yeah. Yeah, hard to believe, but man, you got to feel like Florida State's got to bounce back. They're playing. It's not actually a home game, but it's in Jacksonville, Florida. And yep. Maybe the kids at Boise, maybe it's going to be hot down there, hot and humid, you know that. So, I don't know. No strong feeling on that one. I want to talk a little bit about Tulane opens up their season Thursday night. And Willie Fritz has done a good job over there. He's gotten better and better. They even won a playoff game last year. So, Florida International, Butch Davis is the head coach over there. They come in, and so that's a pretty tight matchup. Tulane's favored by 2. The quarterback for Tulane is back again, and I think that probably they have a good chance to win that game Thursday night.
Florida International, that's another, you know, it's kind of as interesting teams kind of flying under the radar with these big time coaches like Lane Kiffert, I think coaches at Florida Atlantic. So I'm sure they got some type of athlete, some type of recruit at least. Tulane, obviously, you know, getting kicked around a little bit. That's a tough game. I mean, they should get that done. I have 3 point minus 3 here, Smith. So I think that's, you know, obviously just the courtesy home team, 3 points. It's going to be tight. Yeah, that one, I got a punt on that one. I got no feeling either way.
You brought up one of my most hated coaches in all of college football a second ago, Lane Kiffin. He's his Florida Atlantic team's traveling to Ohio State, who's also got a new coach up there, and Ohio State's favored by almost 4 touchdowns. I think it's at 27.5 right now. You got any thoughts on that?
That's Day. Day's the coach, but he was there. He's been there. He's been the OC, I think, or the quarterback's coach, and he was there when Urban Meyer was 6. That's not really a big drop off there. It's going to be the same system. I don't see them missing a beat. They got the new the transfer quarterback, Fields from Ohio State. From Georgia. So I think they're going to put a hurting on Lane Kiffin and his boys. And that defense is good. It always seems to be good. They just pump out, you know, first round talent on defensive line, you know, defensive backfield, even all over linebackers, all 3 levels of the defense. So I think they do have something to prove. Fields has something to prove. Day has something to prove. And Harbaugh's talking shit already. So I think they're probably already pissed off about that. So I like the Buckeyes.
Yeah, I think I like the Buckeyes with the big number 2. Like I said, I can't stand Lane Kiffin. Nothing I'd rather see than him get kicked around on the field. I just think everywhere he goes, he starts trouble, leaves teams in a lurch, left USC in a lurch, left Tennessee in a lurch. I like to see guys like that get beat around a little bit. So hopefully Ohio State does have some. I got new coach trying to set a new trend, new quarterback. They're gonna get out there and really try and roll it up. I think we got Alabama laying a ton of points to Duke. Duke is trying to get the new quarterback squared away after losing Jones. Any thoughts on that one?
I don't know how they can keep this one close. Bama, Nick Saban, it seems like he's always pissed off. I'm sure he's going to kind of come out. He did not win a national championship last year, which, I mean, he probably hasn't slept the entire summer. 33.5, I mean, that is a huge number. But I think you're going to see Tua throw, what do you think, 4 TDs? So you're at 28 right there.
Might do that by halftime.
Right. So, I mean, again, it's a big number. It's early in the season. I don't think Bama really cared if they win by 30. They may just do that by default. I mean, gun to my head, I would definitely take Roll Tide on that one for sure.
Right. All right. So it looks like we have a little trend here that I don't like the way it's looking. We're laying a lot of points, Webb. We're laying a lot of points. It's early college football season. Let's try and look at some games where maybe we could pick up some points. There's an ACC matchup on Saturday between Virginia Tech and Boston College. Our old buddy from high school there, Mike Petrula's son, is on offense, starting offensive line on Boston College, and I think Boston College is getting a few in that, about 3.5 or something. This is Virginia Tech. Last six is 1-5 against the spread in their last six conference games, and Boston College is 11-3-1 against the spread in their last 15 conference games. So Boston College is catching a few points in this. I think they got most of their offensive squad is back from last year. They had a pretty solid season. Virginia Tech had a down year last year, and so I'm kind of looking maybe taking a few points in Boston College there.
Yeah, so I mean they're both teams are typically, you know, fairly solid, you know, middle of the road to upper, you know, upper to middle of the road ACC teams. Yeah, I mean I don't see any issue with taking Boston College. I think they're probably trending a little bit better. Their season probably a little more optimistic than VTech. So yeah, I have no problem taking BC there, taking BC in a couple points. But the one I do like, I like the Zips, man, Akron over Illinois +17.
Oh, I forgot about that. We got that. All right, we took some points.
We're not strictly taking the wood, man. Come on.
All right, we did take some points. And then Brad Bohannon's been on me about not talking about Missouri. So I figured we'd throw them on here a little bit and talk a little bit about Missouri. I get most of my inside information from him. So they had a solid year last year. They were 8-5 overall and 4-4 in the SEC, but they lost a close one in the bowl game against Oklahoma State. They have a new quarterback this year. They have Kelly Bryant. He's the transfer from Clemson that came over after he got benched for the Clemson quarterback. Their backfield with Roundtree is still intact. He's got 1,200 yards last year and 11 scores. And they have a really good tight end down there. I can't even pronounce his name. Awkward Beeger or something like that. He had 6 touchdowns last year. And 5 or 7 top tacklers on defense's back. They're playing Wyoming this week, and they have some questions at quarterback. Missouri's -18. But I think a lot of people are talking about Missouri being kind of a quiet team in the SEC. When they first joined the SEC, a lot of people down here in LSU country where they were kind of the laughing stock. But right away, they made it to the conference championship a couple times, and they've been real solid in SEC. They're certainly not a doormat. They've been competitive, and I think this year they have a chance really to come up and surprise some people. So I like Missouri -18 against Wyoming in this. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that one.
Missouri, I think Kelly Bryant thing I think is going to be helpful, obviously. Yeah, and they're always pretty solid, and they do have some of those statues throughout. The returning guys is kind of what caught my ear. I think they should have enough to probably get that gun covered, a 17.5, even though it's on the road. But I think that one, I would go with Missouri in that one, too. I'll agree with you on that one.
All right, cool. So right now, let's look at ones that we got in our little database here.
Yeah.
So we like Utah, we like Bama, we like Rutgers, and we like Akron. Okay, yep. And then I threw out BC and Georgia Southern. We threw out Oklahoma and Notre Dame because those were kind of prime time.
Those are musts.
We'll be on all the Monday. Just so you know, we'll be on all. If there's a big Thursday night game, a Sunday night game, Monday night game, even if it's not our top play of the week, we'll have some kind of bullshit to give you for that.
Yeah, some insight. Right.
And then we got you had Oregon +3.5, and yes. And we both kind of liked Ohio State laying points, and then we said maybe Missouri. So that's that. I count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 11 total games. You want to just send those all in, or what do you want to convince somebody
of
something?
Yeah, well, that's I'm big on Oregon. My biggest play, I think, is let's just start with Thursday. I'm all over definitely Utah for sure. That's one of my big heavy picks, and then I like Rutgers and Akron. That'll get us through the first 2 days.
All right, Rutgers and Akron. And I'll tell you what, I threw in the BC and the Georgia Southern.
There you go.
That's LSU. Yep. I'll let you take the Oregon +3.5, and we'll go in together on that one. That was kind of a toss-up, and we're going with the veteran quarterback. Usually, as a general rule, I go with the SEC over the Pack, but,
I agree with that,
We'll see what happens. So I think that's it for this week. Next week, we're going to have two separate episodes. We'll have a college football episode, and we'll be kicking off the NFL episode. We'll also have a little segment. I just talked to some guys today from the MMA Tribune website, and they're going to be joining us about the UFC 242. They'll give us a little insight on that, and Weber will talk to his man from a man or a woman that he talked to. I don't know who his inside information is from the UFC from last time. So
I gotta keep my sources.
Right. But whoever it was, they gave us some good information. So I think that's it for this episode, and hope you guys can join us next week. Webb, take it easy.
All right, Schmidt. Bye, everybody. Thank you.